God is faithful and God is patient, but you know, folks, God's grace is not going to be forever. It's not going to be forever. It's for an allotted time that we are given opportunity to be saved. There is a number. We don't know when that time is up, but we do know that right now is the day of salvation. Right now is the time when we must repent and get our hearts right with God, because there's coming a day when the door is going to be closed. They asked Jesus, "Lord, will there be many saved?" And he said, "Strive to enter in at the narrow gate. For wide is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many that go there." And folks, I want to tell you that the way of this world and the way that most people are going is the wide road. And Jesus said, because narrow or confined or difficult is the way that leads to life, there are few who find it. Lord, will there be many saved? He says there's going to be few saved. What's missing in our society and what's missing in the church today is the fear of God. We've made God common, but He's holy. He's almighty. And sin cannot exist in His presence. That's why people will be in hell, because they have not dealt with the sin problem. And if they try to come before a holy God with sin, they will not enter in. They will not be able to. You see, God so loved the world, so loves you, so loves me. God is passionately in love with His creation, passionately, so passionately that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was willing to lay down His life, to pay the highest price, to suffer like no man. Because not only did He suffer physically, but He also became that sacrifice for sin. And the sins of the world were placed upon Jesus Christ. And He bore all that because of His love for us, for His creation, and His desire to save us from our sin, from ourselves, from our selfishness. When man sinned in the beginning, he became self-centered. He became his own God. That was the promise of Lucifer, but it was the downfall of mankind that we now choose to be our own God. That means to be independent of our Creator. And they lost the glory that they had. They became naked. Because again, God's covering was removed because of sin, because sin cannot exist in His presence. And so people think that, well, I've been a good person, I've lived a good life, I've been a good neighbor, I've worked hard, I've raised a family, I've done all these good things, certainly that must merit something. The problem is that you still have sin. And unless the sin is dealt with, you are going to attempt someday, because every knee is going to bow to Him. Everyone is going to be brought before to judgment. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. And if you've ever been before a judge, you come before a judge with an attitude of, oh, please, please be gracious, be merciful to me. Don't hit me with a book. You know? You understand? When we stand before God, or we come before God, we need to know that we have received that pardon. And that pardon is only possible through Jesus Christ. It's not possible by me just being good enough, because the problem is that sin still remains. When you and I are born, we are born into sin. We have acquired that from our forefathers, from the first sin, from Adam. It's been passed down generationally. And when a child is born, that child is still born in Adam. So Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit in order to see the kingdom. You must receive a new nature. You must be transformed into a brand new creation. God didn't say, I'm just going to fix it up for you. I'm just going to make it a little better. I'm going to make you a person. He says, I'm going to make you a brand new person, a new creation. That's God's plan, is to redeem mankind, body, soul, and spirit, that we might be preserved blameless before Him at His coming. And I want you to turn with me this morning, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to begin with verse 24. Luke chapter 17 and verse 24. How many of you have heard that song from the play Annie? Tomorrow, tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. Tomorrow is what? Just a day away. How many know that, folks? That may not necessarily be true. We may not see tomorrow. And that's the grace we give ourselves, because we just expect that we're going to see tomorrow. There are many people who have squandered the opportunities they've had to get their hearts right with God with the thought that maybe tomorrow, or one of these days, I'm going to listen to God's voice and I'm going to do what He says. And yet Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. If you can still hear God drawing your heart to come to repentance and faith in Jesus, you better say yes, because it's not when you determine. A king will call you to come before His presence. You don't bebop into the throne of a king. Amen. And when He summons you to come, that is the time that you must obey and come before the king. And the king will provide you with the proper garments so that you will be qualified to stand in His presence. It's not something you put on yourself. It's something that the King Himself will provide for you. Do you see that Jesus Christ provides for us righteousness so that we can stand before God Almighty? Jesus was speaking to His disciples about His return, His second coming, His second advent. And He said that it's not going to be something, as some would claim, that it's going to be some kind of secret knowledge that you accumulate, or the kingdom is over here in some geographic location, or some ruler, you know, is going to declare that the Messiah has come. And there are many people today that are wandering around and saying, I'm Jesus, you know. But Jesus said, listen, this is how it's going to be. You're going to know when I come again. He says it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be obvious. Everybody's going to know when Jesus comes. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part of under heaven shines under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in His day. You know, in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, they were in Mars Hill in Athens, and they had this inscription to the unknown God there, and they were Stoics, and they were, you know, I think it was the Epicureans, and they were these philosophers of the day, and all they did is they sat around and talked about the new thing, the new fad. You know, they were seeking after knowledge, more knowledge, 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 you know. Because, you know, the Bible says knowledge puffs up. And knowledge, and people will say, well, knowledge is power. So if I have more knowledge, that makes me superior to you. So the people are constantly trying to glean more knowledge. And yet they had this inscription to the unknown God. And so Paul shows up and he says, I'm going to explain to you this unknown God. That he was the creator, amen? And that he set the boundaries to where people and tribes would be upon the earth. And a desire and even a part of us in our hearts that longs to know and desires to have fellowship with our Creator. There's something in every one of us that desires to worship. And so if people don't know who this true God is, they worship all kinds of gods, all kinds of idols. They worship people. They worship places. They worship things. If they don't know the true living God. And so they explain to them the true living God. And then he said, because God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And he has given assurance of us. Why? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Amen. He is there as our great high priest, as our intercessor. And it says that he ever lives to make intercession on behalf of his people. Jesus is not in the grave. Amen. He is alive. And he is not only our advocate, our defense attorney, but he's also the judge. And there is coming a day when every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow according to the word of God. And we're going to give an account to God. What do we do? What do we do about all those things that we've said through the years? What do we do about all that sin and all that junk and all the rebellion and all the times we've said no to God's voice and said yes to ourselves and to our ways? What do we do with all that garbage and all that baggage? Thank God this is an escape. Amen. There's a way to be free. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. But God can't save us either if we don't repent. Because he's holy. The price for sin has been paid. It's already been paid in full. But because God is holy, it requires that you and I will come to him and confess and renounce our ways. And God will have mercy. God will have grace. God will forgive. And God himself can qualify you and give you the garments of salvation so that you and I can stand clean before him. We can be qualified to stand before the judge of all the earth. The day is coming. And the day is coming quickly. Folks, take a look at what's happening in our world. Take a look at what's happening in our nation. Jesus said in verse 24, again, as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. Verse 25, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Jesus again is saying that, listen, guys, I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be crucified. But the first time Jesus came, he came to be a sacrifice for sins. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. The first time Jesus came, he came as that suffering servant. You see, the Jews were confused because the Messiah, they believed, was going to be a reigning king. And so they also read that he's going to be a suffering servant. So many Jews believed that there was two messiahs, one being a suffering servant and the other a reigning king. And Jesus is both that. He first came as the suffering servant to be the sacrifice for our sins, to show mercy and to show grace, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If people will listen to his voice, if they will turn from their sin, repent of their sins, and surrender their life to Jesus, they can be forgiven. They can be saved. They can be rescued from the penalty of their sin. But the second time that Jesus comes, is going to be as the lightning shines. Amen. As it flashes, it's going to be in clouds of glory. Every eye is going to see him. He's coming as King of Kings and of Lord of Lords. And he's coming to execute judgment on this world of the ungodly. That is the truth. That is what the Bible says, folks. I'm only the paper boy, so don't get mad at me. I'm going to preach this word. I'm going to preach what God says. If Jesus said it, I agree with it. And I'm going to repeat it. Because it's only the truth. Only accepting what he says as the truth that's going to set you free. You got to forsake your opinions. You got to get over your ideas and say, well, to me, God's like this or God's like that. No, God does not change. He is forever the same. We're the ones that need to change. We're the ones that need to be transformed. And I cannot save myself. All I can do is cast myself down at the mercy of the judge and say, Judge, be merciful to me. And the judge that we face is the same one who suffered and died for us, who paid the price for our sin and provided a way of escape. Isn't that amazing? So that if we have repented and we've given our hearts to Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven and he will make us a new creation. He will clothe us once again in his righteousness and his presence. And we can be qualified to stand before him in that day. And then in verse 26, Jesus said, listen, this is what it's going to be like, guys, when Jesus returns the second time, his second advent. He says, so as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. He says, they were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. The Lord told us it was going to be like what? The days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? Well, he explains. He says, people ate, they drank, they got drunk. They got married. They were given in marriage. These things are normal. These things are legitimate. These things are part of our lives. God is not against these things, folks. He is against drunkenness, but he's not against us enjoying the fruits of our labor and the things that he's provided freely for all of us to enjoy on the earth. Would you agree? God is bountiful. God is good. God blesses us with good things to enjoy, good things to eat. That's the heart of our Father. He's provided all of this, and he created this earth for us because he loves us and he wanted us to be here. So he says, why would Jesus talk about them eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? In other words, it's just a normal routine for us human beings, right? Those are the things that we do. As a matter of fact, God said, go and bear fruit. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. What is he saying? This is the problem. The problem is that mankind wants to be his own God, and he wants all this independent of his Creator. And yet our normal function, to be truly normal, is to be a worshiper of your Creator, for that was the purpose for which we are created. So people who do not worship the Creator are actually living an abnormal life. I used to think what was abnormal was normal. I was living an abnormal life and thought, well, it's normal. Why? Because I looked around me and I says, well, that's what other people do. That's what the news tells me to do. That's what Hollywood tells me to do. My reality was based upon the infection that I received from watching too much television or too much something. Are you hearing me? And many people's minds have been poisoned by all the garbage that they've been feeding themselves and watching these news agencies that have an agenda. The devil wants to enslave people. So he wants to keep us away from what is true. And he wants us to accept a lie as though it were true, so we're deceived. And if you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. You just kind of do what you feel is normal based upon your experience in life and what other people do. Are you with me so far? And Jesus shows up. He says, guys, this is what's true. I am the truth. You want to see the Father? Take a look at me. I and my Father are one. Listen to the words that I speak to you. This is what is true. This is what's authentic. This is what is really real. If your experience in life is not agreeing with what I'm saying, because most of the people, many of them, when they heard Jesus, they looked like deer in car headlights. They're like, huh? We've never heard anything like this before. Even those who had sat under the teaching of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day, they had never heard anybody speak with such authority. And Jesus spoke to them plainly in parables in the language of the common man so that they could try to get an understanding of what he's really saying. Why? Because God wants us to know what is true. He says, you've heard all this before, but now I say, listen to what I'm telling you. If we don't accept the words of Jesus Christ, folks, we are rejecting the only hope that we have. If we reject the words of Jesus Christ, we are rejecting the truth. And if you reject the truth, then you will believe a lie and you will be condemned. Jesus said, those who hear my words and don't believe, I don't condemn. But he did say this, those who reject me and don't receive my word, right? He said in the day of judgment that all are going to face that same word that I spoke will judge them in that day. Jesus came to lead us out of darkness into light. Jesus came to rescue us from the prison that we are in. Jesus came to set us free from the penalty of our own actions called sin. Amen. Not only that, Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin that we've all been born into. Amen. To break the curse. Amen. So he became that for us, so we could be free. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage. And the Bible says that they knew not until the day that Noah and his family entered into the ark and the floods came and took them all away. Will there be many saved, Lord? He said there's going to be few, because narrow is the way that leads to life and there are few who find it. Do you understand, folks? Jesus said there was only 8 souls. Of that entire world that were saved. 8 souls out of an entire world population. Do you think that Jesus is speaking to us today? Do you think these words mean something to us? Do you believe this book? Do you believe this is the word of God? Do you believe that God put this word together for us, amen, so that we can know how to be saved and how to escape these things that are coming upon the earth? We can stand before the Son of Man. The day is coming when Jesus is going to come, and he's coming again, folks, this time not to be spat upon, not to be mocked, not to be ridiculed, not to be a laughing stock on Saturday Night Live, but Jesus is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to deal with all the foolishness of men and the rebellion of men, and he's saying you need to be ready, you need to watch, because my coming is nigh. In 1 Peter 3:18 it says, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. To the spirits now in prison, he says. Who are the spirits now in prison? These were the people in Noah's day who had sat under the preaching of this man of righteousness that God had raised up as a prophetic voice to warn the people that the judgment of God is coming, that he's going to flood the earth, and it is time for you to prepare yourself and to come on board the ark of his safety. The ark represents Jesus Christ. Folks, there's coming a day when God is going to judge the world of the ungodly, and he's saying now is the time of salvation. Now is the time to turn back to God, to come to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Do you understand? The first time by water, the second time it's going to be a renovation of fire. Amen. And we don't want to be a part of that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting to get out of here. Amen. And be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether the Lord comes in clouds of glory and calls us up, or whether we die some other way, all I know is I want to make sure. I don't want somebody to tell me it's okay with God. I want to know in my own heart that my heart is right. I don't want any darkness in me. I don't want anything unresolved. I don't want any unforgiveness. I don't want to hold any bitterness or anything against anyone, because I don't want anything to come between me and my Lord, and being ready for that day, because that day is coming. You can run, but you cannot escape. Jonah was called to be a prophet of God, to go to Nineveh and cry out against that great city, that those people were torturing them and they were enemies of the Jews. And God raises him up and says, I want you to go and preach repentance to them. That's God's heart. God is not willing that anyone should perish. He doesn't care if they're bad people or good people. All people are lost without Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he sent Jonah to go and to cry out against that city. And Jonah said, oh no, oh God, I got a better idea. I've got a different plan. And he decided to take a detour, you know, and he went the other direction, and God prepared a big fish. Do you understand? Sometimes, folks, you and I have to be swallowed by a big fish before we wake up and realize, as Jonah did, as he was down in the depths of the sea, and he said this, oh, those who observe lying vanities forsake the mercy that could be theirs. Oh, those who chase after wind and sand, chase after their own way and their own gods and the God of their own choosing and not the true living God. Those who resist His voice and try to go and flee from His voice, they're forsaking the only mercy that is available. For there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. He is that way, that truth, that life. And He's calling men and women, boys and girls, to repentance, to return to the cross, to return to the Word of God. Are you hearing me today? We've got to quit playing patty cake with the devil. We've got to kick him out of our lives. We've got to deal with the devil, because he's not your friend. He's the cause of all the mess that we see. And our world is so dysfunctional because we listen to that voice. And oh yeah, we can compare ourselves to others and say, well, I'm not as bad as this guy. The problem is you're still sinful. If it was possible for us to be good enough, God would not have required the cross. None of us are good enough. But all of us have to come the same way. And that is, we have to kneel before Jesus Christ and call on Him for mercy. Jesus warned us against having an outward expression of godliness, but not being truly converted in the heart. Folks, and I can suggest to you that there are many people that have an outward confession of godliness. Some people very demonstrative. Some people can jump up and down and dance and whatever, folks. But do they have truly a converted heart? You see, God looks upon the heart. Amen. We can all give God lip service, but God knows who we really are. And He knows who we are in our secret heart. And it's that part of us, folks, that needs to get right with God. God deals with the heart first. You understand? Amen. We can all make adjustments. We can quit doing that and quit doing that. And I'll quit doing the dope and I'll quit drinking. I'll quit beating my wife or whatever the thing might be. But folks, the problem is that sin remains, and you must repent from your heart and come to God, for the mercy of God is free flowing. The mercy of God is abundant and free. The mercy of God will cleanse and heal and restore you completely. Hallelujah. I am a soul that has been set free. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Matthew 15:8. See, we can have an outward expression of godliness, and yet in our hearts we can be far from God. We can come to church. We can even do all the right stuff. Are you hearing me? We can do Christian stuff, but our hearts can be distant from God. We must be converted in our hearts. You must be born again, and you must make sure that you are hearing and listening and obeying the voice of the shepherd and the lover of your soul. My sheep hear my voice. Are you his sheep? Do you listen to his voice? Then you're his sheep. The Lord went on to say in Luke chapter 17, verse 28, that his second coming would also be similar to that of Lot. He said, likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. In other words, civilization had advanced beyond where it was in Noah's day at that time. And it was man's effort to bring in a golden era of peace and prosperity. The problem was, once again, the peace and prosperity and world unity, are you hearing me, without God. Independence from God. And he said in verse 29, but on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. Do you understand that God is patient? God is long-suffering. God is not willing that anyone should perish. But God has a limit. God has set a time for judgment. And folks, America had better wake up, because the judgments of God are already beginning to come upon our nation. And the church better wake up from her sleep, because if we do not repent as a church, our nation is not going to have any hope. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. God says, I will turn it around if you turn it around in your heart. You get right with me. Do you understand that this was a type, folks, of what's coming on the earth, as God rained down fire, sulfur? And you know, you can go there today. The archaeologists have discovered places where that had happened, where there's actually there's brimstone, and there's holes in all what's left of the construction that's there from the brimstone that had fallen. Literally, it was brimstone that fell from heaven, and he burned up those cities. Now, God didn't want anybody to perish, and God was trying to bring in, you know, mercy through Abraham, and Abraham was, in a sense, an intercessor at that time. And yet he could not find even five. And so Abraham's cousin, his family was taken literally by force. The angel grabbed him and said, quickly, let's get out of here. And he was pulling him out, and he said, and the angel warned him to, and he says, do not look back at the city. In other words, you make a clean break from sin and from your past and what was, you can no longer look back and live halfway there and halfway out. You must completely come out of Babylon, the world system. And then listen to what Jesus said. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Three words in that verse. Remember Lot's wife. What was the problem? Hear this. Lot's wife was destroyed by God because she remained tethered to her old life. Do you understand that repentance is not me just making a deal with God and patching up a few things and saying, well, God, you can have that, but you can't have that. Repentance means I am through with my way. I am through with the past life. I am now a child of God, and I am following Jesus Christ. Lot's wife came out of Sodom, but Sodom did not come out of her. Do you understand that God will pull people out of the world, but if they don't get the world out of them, they will eventually go back and be destroyed. As a matter of fact, it would be better not to know the way than to know the way and then turn from the holy commandment delivered to us. It's as if a dog were to return to its vomit, or a pig that was washed to wallowing in its mire. God says it's worse for people who knew the way and turned away from it. than for those who never knew. Do you understand that God is saying that His people must be holy because He is holy? And without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He alone is my holiness. He makes me holy. I don't trust my holiness. I don't trust in my goodness. I throw myself down at His feet and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me. Are you hearing me? And God is merciful. God is gracious. God is not willing that anyone should perish. And Jesus said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. How many here have made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? Okay. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to have Him Lord? It means He owns you. You're His property. You're not your own anymore. You're under His authority now. What He says, you do. Amen? And what He says not to do, you don't do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Do you understand? If He's Lord, that means that He's in command of your life. This is what Jesus said. And you know what? Some people, they just don't like that Jesus. I don't like that Jesus. But guess what? That's the Jesus that you're going to see. Everybody's going to kneel before that Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that which lost. Jesus poured out His love for us on that cross. He demonstrated His love for us. He didn't just tell us He loved us. He demonstrated it by paying the price for us. And do you understand the heart of God for you, the love that God has for you? And if you reject such a great salvation, you will get what you really deserve. And that is hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God wants you to be with Him. But it means that we have to come His way. Not my way, but His way. That means He has to become my Lord. I'm no longer my own Lord, my own God. I follow Him. And that means what He says, I will do. What He says, I believe and I agree with. Yeah. Doesn't matter whether you like that Jesus or not, because what people are trying to do today is just to create a different Jesus then. I don't like that Jesus of the Bible, so I'll just kind of take this out and that out, and I'll twist this a little bit and change this a little bit, and I'll have a Jesus that I like, that fits my lifestyle and the things that I believe. You understand? That's what the Bible calls idolatry, and all idolaters will have their part in the lake of fire. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The law was written for you and I to understand that we are guilty sinners before God. But then the mercy of God was given to us through the death of Jesus. For God gave up His Son for us, who willingly laid down His life for His sheep, that we could go free. Hallelujah. We could have new life, a new beginning. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a child of God. If you hear and you're still a slave to sin, you're not born again. I'm not saying you don't occasionally make a mistake. I'm saying that if you're bound by sin, you're not born again yet. Because He came to break the power of sin. Amen? Oh, Lord, thank You for doing that. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the price that You paid. We're watching many, 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 many people today falling away, drifting away, leaving, forsaking their first love, forsaking the Lord, and they're being drowned in perdition and destruction. They're being drowned in this world. They have gone after other lovers. Many people who once walked with Jesus are now following other gods. And they have made themselves Lord of their own lives. Do you hear me today? If you're Lord of your own life, you will not be saved. Because Jesus Christ alone can save you. You cannot save yourself. We trust fully in the grace of our Lord. Amen. We're looking forward to the day when Jesus comes with expectation, with anticipation, that when Jesus comes, I'm going to be with Him. And I know I'm going to be ready for Him because He makes me ready. I don't make myself ready. I just simply say, Jesus, help. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, here I am. I give You my life. I give You my heart. I give You my future. Be Lord of my life. By all means, set me free from myself. I'm my own worst enemy. How many would agree with me that you're your own worst enemy? And if you haven't discovered that yet, you will. He's our best friend. He's our helper. We have an advocate at heaven's court. We have a defense attorney. His name is Jesus Christ. He went before us. He's prepared the way for us. Would you bow your heads this morning? Bow your heads, and I want you really to ask the question today, am I saved? Am I truly born again? Am I ready at this moment to face the judgment? Are my sins dealt with? My friend, if you have darkness in your soul today, you need to come into the light today. And you need to let Jesus Christ flood you with His light. You need to allow Jesus to cleanse you from all your sin. And you need to allow Him to be Lord of your life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Maybe you just had a Jesus of your own choosing because you just didn't like the Jesus of the Bible or you don't like the way what it says. Folks, I want to encourage you today to repent of that thinking and turn to God and ask Him to forgive you for that. If you're here today and there are people that have hurt you in your life that you have not forgiven, Jesus says, unless you forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. You must repent and you must forgive them. You must release them and ask Jesus to help you right now. Just, I want you to say, Jesus, help me to forgive these people. And I want you just in your own heart right now, begin to name them and say, Lord, help me to forgive so and so. And believe right now that you have the grace to do so and say, to that person, I want you right from your own heart, I want you to speak to that person. And I want you to say, I forgive you. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. I release you. You're free to go. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, and make me a new creation. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You may be here today and maybe you're kind of a nominal Christian. You're kind of halfway there. God says, I want all of you, all of you to come. And He wants you to surrender your entire life to Him and embrace the plan that God has for you. These are plans of peace to give you a future and a hope. It is a blessed life. You want His superior life, or you can waddle around in the inferior life that this world offers you. It's your choice. But God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. And you shall be my sons and daughters. And I will be a father to you. You've got to repent and you've got to turn away from yourself and from this world. When Jesus called people, He called them publicly. He said, come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Come. All you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come. Jesus is calling you, my friend, today. He's calling you. in this moment, in this time of grace. And the day comes when the door will shut. And Jesus said many in that day will knock on the door and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And it will be too late. Today is your opportunity. Today is a day of salvation. Friend, I'm pleading with you today. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Quit playing church. Quit playing games with God. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Only He can save you. You cannot save yourself. Your own goodness will never go before to judgment. You must trust Him fully with your heart, with your life, with your future. If you're here today and you say, I want Jesus more than anything else. I don't want my way anymore. I want His way. I want you to stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Just stand up for Jesus. All to Jesus, I surrender. Let's lift our hands and just surrender it all. Lord, forgive me for going my way. I forsake my way. I repent and I turn to you today, Lord Jesus. And I ask you for pardon and for mercy. Forgive me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I have decided. I've made up my mind. From this day forward, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. May the Lord grant each one of us repentance today in the time of His favor, in the time of the dispensation of His grace, which is now. Let us labor while it is light, while it is still day. For the night comes when no man shall work. Folks, the night is coming. And the day when God closes the door on grace is quickly approaching. Today is the day of salvation. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And just as an act of faith to step out from where you're at, I want you to come. If you're saying, I'm here to give my life to Jesus Christ, to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, you make it public. You let people know that you're not ashamed to claim Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you. Would you come? And just come to the front as an act of faith to say, Lord, I'm standing up. I'm willing. I'm willing to give my life, my heart, my future to you. Some of you just maybe have some things God's been dealing with you this morning. I didn't even have to say it. God's been dealing with you about some things that you need to forsake, that you need to repent of, that you need to turn from. Maybe it's sexual sin. You just need to turn from that. Come and just repent before the Lord. And kneel before the Lord, or right where you're at, just say, God, please forgive me. I repent. I turn to you for help. I turn to you for mercy. I come to your throne of grace today by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Not everybody's going to be saved, but folks, you can be in that number. You can be of the few. If you just give your life totally to Jesus Christ, trust Him fully. Don't trust yourself. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't turn back. Don't be Lot's wife. Some people come to an altar and they say, Jesus, forgive me. And then they go right back into the world. That's Lot's wife, folks. People that continue to do that will be destroyed. God said you must repent. That means you must change your mind and you must forsake your way and your sin. You must be through with it. Whatever it takes. If you're dealing with drug addiction, God says you need to deal with it. Don't pet it. Don't play with it. Don't entertain it any longer. You need to repent and you need to get it right now. God has the power to set you free. Father, we thank you for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that God says no to, it means no to us because He's Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. We break, Lord, the power of addiction in Jesus Christ's name. We break the power of addiction of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Devil, we command you in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Take your hands off her in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The yoke it is destroyed by the anointing of God. We release the anointing of God right now. We have a choice every day who we're going to serve. Amen?
Amen.
As for me and my house,
we will serve the Lord.
You know, though none go with me, still I will follow. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit and that He's given us new life. I believe in the crucifixion. I believe that He conquered death. And I believe in the resurrection and that He's coming back again. Be ready because the Lord is coming. Amen? Be ready. Watch and pray daily. Say yes to His voice daily and no to yourself. I choose the Jesus, the true Jesus. Amen? And all others I forsake. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon each one of you. Be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you peace.